Well, how many of you have remembered your challenge verses? Okay. We're going to... Two of them. Sorry, Tom. The first one is Psalm 27, chapter 20, verse 7. And we sang it a while ago. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Okay? So do you? So say that with me. I'll take that off the screen there. There you go. Ready? Some may trust in chariots, and some may trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 27. One more time. Some may trust in chariots, some may trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 27. All right, good. Now you can put it up there. You nailed it. Exactly. Good job. So Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. Your presence, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16:11. So how many of you would enjoy having joy? How many of you would like to have pleasures forevermore? Yeah. Well, it says, "You will show me the path of life," and it's in your presence you will have fullness of joy. And I wonder sometimes how many Christians are not joyful because they're not spending any time in the Lord's presence. So this one is for next week, Psalm 16:11. Okay? And so just mark that down on your bulletin and take it with you. And you can memorize it when you get home. Next week, we're going to test you again and see how you've done. These are some shorter ones. We're going to get into some larger ones later on. Many of you haven't heard, but I hurt my back this past week. And so I'm doing good right now. I've got a back brace on. Standing somewhat straight. Thank you. So it's the little thing. Yeah. Looks can be deceiving. It's all the back brace. Yeah. But anyway, I did not take any muscle relaxers this morning because I didn't want to fall asleep during my sermon. But I do have those. And, man, I've been sleeping a lot the last few days. I can't believe how much I've slept. Like, I don't ever sleep that much, even at night. Anyway, we're in this wonderfully important subject called fasting. And I appreciate you guys coming back. Because I know that sometimes this is a very difficult subject to apply to your personal life. Very difficult. But there are some rewards for doing so, and we'll get to those benefits, those rewards. I don't know that we'll get there today, okay? Next week for sure. But the title of our message is Setting the Bar. Setting the Bar. Every year we need to go a little bit deeper in our relationship with the Lord. Every year we need to do a little bit more in order to not get in a rut. Did you know it's easy to get into a rut? And pretty soon you're just doing things by rote. And there's really no meaning behind it. I mean, I've read my scripture. I've read chapters at a time and then stop and wonder, what in the world did I read? I have no clue what I read. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Then my mind wasn't engaged. My heart wasn't engaged. And so sometimes we just do things because that's the right thing to do. But when you're doing fasting, sometimes, let me just say this, fasting is not just to lose weight, okay? That's one way of losing weight. That's not the best way, perhaps, but that's one way of losing weight. Fasting is actually a discipline that you engage in so that whenever you are doing without food, you can press into the Lord. There's a lot of benefits to fasting correctly. If you're just saying, I'm going to fast, and you're not pressing into the Lord, you're really not fasting. And you're not going to get the benefits from that. So what I would say is that when you're fasting, don't do any strenuous work or exercise, okay? Because it's not pleasant when you do that. You can get dizzy and have some other problems. And so find a time whenever you're not engaged in some other activities. When participating in a fast, particularly a prolonged fast, your body is going to feel fatigued. And so it's okay to just rest and sleep and let your body catch up with what you are doing. Okay, and so again, you in order to do a prolonged fast, you almost have to not be at work or doing those kind of things. You just have to set aside a time for that. So today I want to talk about what is the purpose of fasting. We're going to talk about three reasons to fast or three purposes to fast. The first one is to draw close to the Lord. To draw close to the Lord. That's the primary purpose of fasting, is to draw close to the Lord. Again, if you're just doing without food and you're not pressing in, then you're really not getting the benefit of fasting. So how does one draw close to the Lord? There's a passage of Scripture in James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 that may be a good outline for you as you begin your fast. Scripture says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So the first thing in drawing close to the Lord is we need to humble ourselves. Do you guys ever have any problems with pride? I think that is an affliction of every person. Particularly Americans. And just because we are Christians don't mean we don't have the same type of problems. And so God says, humble yourself before me. Humble yourself. So here's the thing. When God does something really exceptional through you, don't look at yourself and say, man, look how good I am. Look what I've done. And we need to lift that praise and we need to lift that honor to the Lord. We need to glorify Him, because every single one of us, every single one of you, have a gift from the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you have an assignment upon your life. Every single one of you. And every day I wake up, I say, Lord, let me help fulfill the assignment you have on my life today. When I get to heaven, I want the Lord to tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear those words. I don't want to hear it. They said, oh, Brad, boy, you squeaked by. Glad you made it. Glad to see you. So, humble yourself before the Lord. Give Him the praise. Give Him the glory as you are a conduit of His grace to others. One of the reasons for fasting is to humble yourself. In Ezra chapter 8, Ezra calls a fast for the people of Israel. He says, and there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that He would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. They humbled themselves. Let me tell you a little backstory of we'll set this here, of Ezra. So he was praying. One of his brothers came to him from Israel and told him, man, the walls are torn down. It's all messed up. He started crying. And he actually was, am I getting Nineveh, or Ezra? Okay. And Nehemiah, they're kind of work together, and so sometimes I get them confused. But anyway, Ezra told the king what he was wanting to do. He wanted to go rebuild Jerusalem. And the king says, I'm going to send, and so whatever you need. And so Ezra says, well, I'm needing timbers. I'm needing finances. I'm needing the things that came out of the temple. I need all of that stuff. And the king said, okay, I'll give it to you. And you take it back to Jerusalem and you begin the building project. And so as he's beginning the building project or starting to leave out, the king says, do you want anyone to go with you to protect you on the way? And Ezra had already made a statement that God will take care of us. Have you ever said something that God will do this and then you're like, oh. Yeah. It's Nehemiah. Okay. Well, Ezra, in this book of Ezra, where we just read, he was talking about the people. The king was saying, I need to protect you. Or I want to send somebody to protect you. And Ezra had already said, or Nehemiah, one of them, had already said, we're going to just trust the Lord in this. And on the way from Jerusalem, or from Babylon back to Jerusalem, there were highwaymen and robbers and different things. And so they were just, so Ezra called for this fast. But he says, I've told the king we're going to trust the Lord. And we need him badly. And so he called all the people to fast, to humble themselves and fast. Fasting is one of the ways that you humble yourself. Fasting is one of the ways that you tell your stomach that it's not in charge of you, that we're going to humble yourselves before the Lord. Another reason we fast is to resist the devil and resist fleshly appetites. We resist temptation. In Ephesians chapter 2, Scripture says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under the wrath of others, as the others were also, but God. But God. He said one day, if you look out at the world is under the dominion of the prince of the air. Who is who? What's his name? Satan. So the whole world is under his dominion. And he says, and that's who you lived under before you met Christ. But then God stepped in and did a marvelous work in your life. Fasting, So we as Christians, we often have this enemy that's still attacking us. Yeah. It's like we've got a mark on our back. Because he does not want to lose us. He's already lost us. But the enemy wants to bring us back into his ways of living. And we're walking out of his ways, and he can't stand it. So he puts a target on us, and we are walking in the ways of the Lord. He's trying to bring us back. He's trying to put hooks in us and bring us back. And usually, we keep falling back into the same sins that we were trying to walk out of. So fasting, what fasting does is it helps break the power that the enemy has over us. And we are able then to conquer the fleshly desires, and we're able to conquer those strongholds that we once were held in bondage to. The third way we draw close to the Lord is that we cleanse from sin through heartfelt confession and repentance. Cleanse from sin. Cleanse ourselves from sin through heartfelt confession and repentance. I want to ask you a question. Since becoming a Christian, have you allowed sinful thoughts and habits to creep into your life? And was there a time when sin, the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin more than he's convicting you now? There was something perhaps at one time you just felt really horrible and sorrowful about in your own personal life, but you just keep on doing it and justifying it and making excuses for it, and now it's not a big deal to you anymore. If that's the case, then the Lord wants you to remember what he's brought you out of. He wants you to go back to him. And when he talks here in James chapter 4, verse 9, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. We need to be sad over our own sin. That's what he's saying. And when we go before the Lord, and when you go before the Lord in fasting and pursuing him, it's hard to overlook those things. When you get into his presence, it's hard, because as you begin to press in, the Holy Spirit says, remember this? Remember this? I want to remind you of this. So if we are holding on to anything in our life that is sinful behavior, then we're not going to be able to have the presence of the Lord the way that the Lord wants us to have. And so fasting, part of drawing close to the Lord, is cleansing yourself from all sin. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, but that does mean we're cleansed. Because 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That would be a good one to memorize. I think we have. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it nice to be cleansed? It's wonderful to be cleansed. So as you go in and press in before the Lord and draw close to him, one of the things you're going to need to do is confess your sins. Another way you draw close to the Lord is through heartfelt praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Heartfelt worship, praise, and thanksgiving. I find that whenever I do that, that joy begins to flood my soul. An inexplainable joy. The Lord is wanting us to worship Him. And I appreciate so much the worship we had this morning. I appreciate our hearts being lifted up to the Lord in worship. And as we do that, the Lord is pleased, and it says as we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us. Another way that we draw close to Him is by reading and reflecting on His Word. Reading and reflecting on His Word. So when you have your time of fast, spend some time in God's Word as well as in prayer. Get your heart right, because if your heart's not right, you're not going to get out of God's Word the things that you would normally get from Him. Okay, so get your heart right and press in to His Word. Okay, number two, the second way or the second purpose for fasting is to develop a sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord. So what is He saying to me? What is He saying to me regarding the ones I have responsibility for? What is He saying to me regarding our nation? What is He saying to me regarding my family? What is He saying to me? It's almost like when I was growing up, we didn't have cable. There was no such thing. You go ahead and flip it to the next slide, if you would. And, of course, we didn't have one of these antennas either. We had one on the outside of the house. And somebody would be watching the TV, and somebody else would be hollering at the guy outside the window, "Turn it back! Go the other way! Stop!" Because somebody's out there turning it and twisting it to try to pick up the signal. Okay? So fasting is like that. You're able to pick up a signal from the Lord better than you would have had you not fasted. And so you're tuning in to what God is saying. What is He saying to you? What's the direction He has for you? What's the direction He has for your family? What's the direction He has for the church? What is the direction He has for you as a nation? I'm really concerned about our nation and where it's headed and what the next 4 years are going to hold. I don't know if you've heard about the Great Reset, but the economists throughout the world are trying to get a one world economy so that we can all go in the same direction. And they think the pandemic is the most excellent way to get us there. This is a wonderful way. And if you read about it, it sounds really good, but it's not of God. Because once they get a one world economy, they're going to have a one world government. And then, hallelujah, Jesus is coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're getting closer. And here's what, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer me. So the leaders that have been nominated to lead our country this next 4 years, are you talking about them or are you praying for them? So I'm going to encourage you to pray for them more than you talk about them. Okay? Because they need Jesus. They need Jesus in a big time way. God is able, more than able, to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. So I want to encourage you to get your ears in a position where you can hear what God is saying. A third thing for the purpose of fasting is to open our eyes to the needs around us and to develop a Christ-like heart to find ways of meeting those needs. Listen to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 and 7. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Father doesn't like to see anybody in bondage. He doesn't like to see anybody doing without. He doesn't like to see people with heavy burdens. And we need to develop the same kind of heart for those who are outside our body and outside the body of Christ that He has. He says, one of the reasons for fasting is to release the bonds of wickedness. To release the bonds of wickedness. Did you know that you could do that in your own personal life? But also you can do it for other people. You may remember a man brought his son to the disciples. And he wanted the disciples to cast out a demon that the boy had because the demon kept trying to kill his son. Threw him in the fire, threw him in the water, threw it just trying to kill him. Every time he would do that, the dad would evidently be there and help him get the fire snuffed out or keep him from drowning. And finally, he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do anything for this young boy or this young man. And so they brought him to Jesus. And the dad says, Jesus, if you can, cast out this demon from my son. And Jesus said, if I can, why couldn't the disciples cast him out? He says, because it was your unbelief. It was because of their unbelief. But he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. The man said, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I was listening to Jennison Franklin. I'd never heard this spoken before. I think it was a revelation from the Lord to him regarding this passage of Scripture. And he said it was not fasting. Jesus went on to say, this only comes out by prayer and fasting. This only comes out by prayer and fasting. And what Jennison Franklin says, and I agree with him, is that it's not the demon that comes out by prayer and fasting. That comes out through the name of Jesus Christ, through His power. What comes out through prayer and fasting is unbelief. And, as I think about that, I'm thinking, man, I think he's right on track. Because it is the power of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that's able to cast out demons. It's not by fasting. But I think, when we have unbelief, that hinders the ability to break this spiritual wickedness upon people. And God said, this is the true fast, that you release the bonds of wickedness. Second thing he says, I want you to remove heavy burdens. remove heavy burdens. So how many of you have some heavy burdens on your heart? Okay. He says, this is the true fast, that you remove the heavy burdens. Do you think it's possible in your time of prayer and fasting for the Lord to remove those burdens from your heart? I would venture to say that you could save a week's worth of worry by 30 minutes worth of prayer. You could save a week's worth of worry by 30 minutes worth of prayer. I want to encourage you, church. You can remove heavy burdens. Scripture says in the New Testament that we're to carry one another's burdens, right? So sometimes a person may need a hug, and it just does something to them. The Holy Spirit lets you know they need a hug. You go give them a hug. The Holy Spirit may say, you know, go pray for them. And you see, if you have eyes to see, you can see people who are weighted down with different things. What do you think it would be like to go up to them and say, is it okay if I pray for you? I'm really amazed at what prayer can do. I really am. I've had the opportunity to pray for many people, and just by praying, it something happens to them. I don't feel anything especially powerful going through. No, Jesus said, "Virtue." I felt virtue come out of me and touch that person. I don't know that I've ever felt that, but I've seen people who were weighed down with heavy burden, and all I do is pray for them, and it's almost like their burden is lifted. And you've done the same thing. There's something amazing that happens when we touch the Lord with their burden. Carry one another's burdens. Now, I would say this in regards to carry one another's burdens, that you are not the burden bearer. So when it says carry on another's burdens, if you take on somebody's burden, it's only yours to pass on to the Lord. It's not yours to wear and walk in the rest of your life or the rest of the week or the rest of the day. It's yours to take and pass on to the Lord. Okay? I know, Rena, you've got a lot of kids at school. That's a burden to you. Lift them up to the Lord. Put them in His hands. Okay? That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's part of this fasting thing that He wants us to learn, is to carry heavy burdens to Him, remove them. He also says that we're to free the oppressed, breaking every yoke. This is the fast He desires, to break every yoke. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I'm asking you, whose yoke are you carrying? If you're under a heavy burden, then I would suggest that it's probably not the Lord's yoke you're carrying. What are you yoked to that you need to release? What is yoked to you that you need to... Do you know what a yoke is? Yeah. No, it's not the chicken. It's not the egg yolk. So in the olden days, they would have an implement that they would put over oxen or mules that would yoke them together so they could pull along with each other and do some groundbreaking or whatever they wanted to do with it. And sometimes if you hooked two animals together that didn't work well together, it caused more problems than it caused good. And so you would have to, you didn't ever want to yoke an oxen and a mule together.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. Okay? So what the Lord is saying is that sometimes we are yoked to something that we need to release. We need to not be bound to that anymore. And so fasting, part of the purpose of fasting is to get free of the yoke, breaking every yoke that we are carrying. So is there a besetting sin in your life? Is there a stronghold in your life? Is there a fleshly desire that needs to be broken off you? This is one of the purposes for fasting. Another reason for fasting is to share your food, clothing, and shelter with those who don't have. So I don't know. How much would you say you spend on a meal, a normal meal? $3 to $5 maybe? I don't know. Yeah, unless you're eating out, then it could be quite the amount. So what if the money you saved on food when you were fasting, you blessed somebody else with that? $3, $5. There's a lot of people around town who are on the street corners. We need to do some social things too. There's something called the social gospel, where a lot of churches, all they do is give food to people, but there's no Jesus connected with it. People can go to hell hungry or full. Okay? And if our social gospel, if we don't give a track or if we don't share Jesus in the midst of it, we're really not doing what we need to do. And I want to encourage you, I'm going to be doing it myself, set some money aside. Every time you fast a meal, set some money aside. And then find somebody to bless with, but give them a tract as you give it to them. And let them know that there's more to this life than just the present. There's a lot of things we can do. What if we had the same heart for the poor, the lost, the hungry, the homeless, as Jesus did? There wouldn't be any. And so one of the things that I think the Lord is trying to tell us, a lot of times when we're fasting, we have our own desires that we're wanting God to meet. But what if he allows us to have the eyes and the heart that he has for those that don't have? And that's what he wants. He said, if you want to do the true fast, and if you want the benefits from a true fast, then I want you to begin to fast in such a way that you have my heart for those outside. Part of our responsibility is to witness. Part of our responsibility is to work. Part of our responsibility is to worship. And in a true fast, we begin to take on the heart of God and are able to share Christ with others around us. Today you may be here without Christ, and I want to say to you that God loves you. He wants you in his kingdom. Jesus gave his life for you. And if you come to him, He will not cast you out. Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to, when we fast, to do it in a way that's honorable to you. Help us when we fast to keep our focus on you and on the things you have for us. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I'm concerned about our nation and the direction it's headed. Lord, I do lift up those leaders who will be leading us these next 4 years. And God, I pray that you would do a marvelous work in their hearts and lives and bring them, anyone who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, into your kingdom. And we ask these things in the precious and holy and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.